You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. It's day four here. Technically, it's like day almost seven, but
yeah.
Day four for open practices. I'm Russell DeWitt, joined by my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. We're here for another Bears camp episode for you all. So, Nick, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. The weather wasn't too bad today. We were both in the sun, but it just wasn't as hot as like the past couple days we've been here.
Right, and I have a nice wicked sunburn on the back of my neck because I had my camera sun on my back, so that's always going to be fun to watch that kind of play out. But Nick, you excited to jump into today's Bears report?
Absolutely, let's do this.
All right, let's begin with the offense, and I think we always begin under center, so let's change it up. Let's go straight into wide receivers. I'm picking a random position here. So right away, Nick, I'm going to go right to you. For wide receivers, what stood out to you today, day four at Bears camp?
You know what? And we were just talking about this along the walk here to this great scenery we have in the background. But Anthony Miller is a guy that really hasn't stood out. So you asked me who stood out. Anthony Miller, now being this the fourth practice that we've been to, is a guy that I haven't seen do a lot here at training camp at Bourbonnais. I was expecting a lot more now going into year two, him being healthy, now having that shoulder fixed, but I haven't really seen that yet from him. There was maybe one catch that he made in team drills, and it was a four-yard catch, and that was about it. So I was expecting to see a lot more from Anthony Miller now 4 days into training camp, but I may just be overblowing things so far, but that's what kind of stood out, Anthony Miller not standing out.
Yeah, I think you and I are both on the same page where it's a disappointment right now, but it's so early in camp, you know, to really make an irrational decision on where he and Mitch are right now in terms of Miller and the connection. I'm going to wait. It's still early. He's still coming back from that shoulder injury as well. So we'll see how that all plays out. For me, someone that stood out, Marvin Hall.
Yep.
We were, you know, iffy on him coming out of Atlanta. We knew he had a ton of speed, but the fact that he is continuing to just haul in deep ball after deep ball after deep ball, mostly with the backup quarterbacks, though, going against some of the twos. Still impressive, nevertheless, but his speed, he is so fast. And I believe he's making a very strong case. And if he can keep this up in the preseason, this may be the guy to take the top offensive of defenses this year. Are you starting to come to the same kind of conclusion?
Absolutely. Number 13. For some reason, in the beginning of camp, I was like, who is number 13 exactly?
Right.
But now that he's just been making these catches, being consistent, Marvin Hall's a guy that I think is going to make this team, being on the lower end of this wide receiver depth chart, but he has been consistently getting behind the defense for that deep ball. Usually it's been with the twos with Chase Daniel, but that's what you want to see out of these lower end wide receivers. But another guy that's constantly making plays is Javon Wims.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
He's a guy that, again, now in year two, getting some more playing time, repping with the ones, twos. You'll see, even see him with the threes at times, but he's consistently making plays. He did get up a little slow after he caught like a five-yard hitch route, got a little tangled up, trying to make a move upfield. He did get back into the second team offense a little bit later into practice, which is good, but he's just another guy that's just continuously making plays.
Yeah, he's really showing out this camp. He really is, and you said it. When he went down and started limping on the sideline, it didn't look overly serious, but I was still a little weary of what that could potentially be. But Javon Wims, I said it, I think, with you, me, and Will Ingles. Every time I look up, I feel like Javon Wims is making a play, and it's still continuing to this day. His strong camp continues. Before we move on, I think someone wants to say hi to us. Yes? No? Did you want to say hey? Oh, Bobby.
Oh, how's it going, Bobby?
How's it going? Real quick. Sorry, YouTube. We're good. We're live. I don't mind.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how's it going, man? Good. Nice to meet you.
Nick, right?
How's yep. How's it going, Bobby?
Nice to meet you guys.
Former podcast guest.
Yes.
Bobby Peters. He has a good book. Check it out. And Amazon.
He just did?
Oh, really? That's awesome.
All right. Perfect. Sounds great. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bear down.
Look at that. Live shows. You got to love them, Nick.
Absolutely. They're great.
All right. So getting back to the getting back to the wide receivers, I want your take on Cordarrelle Patterson, because today I saw on 7-on-7, he had a few drops, tight coverage. So I'm unsure about his ability right now on a one-on-one situation to get any separation. But also, I don't know if that's really his strength, because he's a guy that you kind of get into space and see what he can do. What's your take on what he's doing so far?
You know, I think for Cordarrelle Patterson, obviously being a former first-round pick and why he's kind of been on a few teams right now, he hasn't maybe just been that complete wide receiver yet. And I guess we're kind of seeing that at times. There was that one pass that Mitch Trubisky threw to him. It gets bobbled up and then gets intercepted. Mm-hmm. Again, there's not enough separation there. But I still want to see if Cordarrelle Patterson can maybe develop better into a better wide receiver. But I'm not as concerned about him right now. We did see him repping with the kick returner spot there. So that's where I primarily see him making like an impact on this team. But for now, he's catching a lot more of those shorter routes. I haven't seen him really go deep yet.
Right.
Where he's actually had a complete, like a Marvin Hall, who has been doing that consistently. But again, this is still early on. We'll see what Cordarrelle Patterson can do and what Matt Nagy has planned for him. Because remember, he's also getting reps with the running backs in the backfield. Mm-hmm. He's lining up everywhere at wide receiver. Obviously, a kick return, so I still want to see what Nagy has in store for him, and we know Nagy's not going to show that in training camp, just like last year.
No. Again, a lot of people in the stands around me are real frustrated with him today, but Okay. Again, in a one-on-one situation, trying to shake and bake and, get off a defender, that's not his game. That's not his strength. So for me, even though, of course, you never want to see him drop the ball, the ability to separate or the lack of, to me, wasn't overly concerning. A couple quick last notes on receivers. One, Allen Robinson, so damn good. Just saw him today in the red zone going up against Deion Bush. Had him turned around, made him look silly. Really just a quick slant, but just his initial burst off the ball and just to get right into that break, it's elite. I mean, before you blink, he's already into his route. It's really incredible to see in person, because last year we didn't get to see that same burst out of him. And then I want to just shout out to my guy Thomas Ives again. He had a couple nice catches. I'm telling you, he's becoming one of my unsung favorite kind of guys on the bottom of this depth chart, or probably not even going to make the, he's not going to make the depth chart, but he's a guy that's really kind of making a case here for a practice squad type of run, and someone who I'm really excited to watch this preseason. Any final thoughts on receivers before we head into whatever position I draw my hat?
Oh, yeah, I wonder what that position is going to be. But no, Thomas Ives, training camp hero so far, just making a lot of catches. But Allen Robinson, just to go back to him real quick, out of all the receivers here in camp, Mitch Trubisky definitely has the best chemistry with him. And I think that's for the best case scenario for this offense. He is the number one wide receiver. He's getting paid like it. And it's good to see him, now 2 years removed from that injury, just being healthy, being explosive, being that number one target for Mitch. And that's great to see.
All right. Well, looking at my hand, which I don't know why, but I'm going to go offensive line, because we probably don't have a huge update there. The only one that I've noticed, they had really decent protection today overall with Mitch, with the Bears front seven, even sending in some blitzes at times. Other than that, it was pretty quiet, which right here in this case, no news is probably good news. I did notice Kyle Long subbing in. I don't think I saw that over the weekend. So, of course, that's a guy in the past that he'd been very cautious with, especially in camp. But the guy that's coming in to replace him, Ted Larson. So I think that shows you exactly where Ted Larson stands right now. He is that third guard on the team ahead of an Alex Barnes, which makes sense. But Ted Larson being that third guard, coming in at Eric Kush role, that seems to be coming into fruition right now. What about you? Anything from the offensive line stand out?
Just sticking with the first team right now, I know there was a couple reps where Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack would have sandwiched Mitch Trubisky. Had this been, obviously another team, the tackles didn't do much on that specific play. But I think overall, they did a fairly decent job. There were a couple run plays where, again, had this been an opposing team, this defense would have taken advantage of that. I think, and now maybe my eyes are deceiving me, but early on, just repping when the H team goes to like their individual drills, the offensive line, I could have sworn I saw James Daniels with the second team at right tackle, which was
interesting.
Something that I wrote it down, 68, not even thinking like, oh, who's the number? Because I wrote down all the numbers of each offensive lineman left to right. And then I went back, 68. Oh, wait, that's James Daniels at right tackle. It was Rashad Coward, who also got reps at that right tackle spot. But initially, I'm like, I wrote down 68. I know I have my contacts right, and they're in today, and it's not early anymore. So I believe I saw him there. Again, we know James Daniels is a versatile guy, but that's just something. Again, he first repped with the first team at the center spot. Right. I don't want to say this is like a new position for him, but just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, outside of the flashes that we saw from the outside linebackers, which Leonard Floyd, Khalil Mack, they're going to flash. You can't really stop that whatsoever. I thought they did a pretty sound job overall. Let's bounce over to tight end while we're staying up with the offensive line today. Number one, we saw Zach Miller out there helping coach, it looks like, some of those tight ends, which I know he's kept that kind of open. They didn't know exactly what was going to be happening there. But seeing Zach Miller out there was really a sight to see. Honestly, it's nice to see him still being within this organization, still around that tight end room, because I know he was such a big factor of it last year despite not being able to play. To have him still in there, the continuity, the leadership that he brings to the table is very encouraging. And then in terms of the actual tight end, Adam Shaheen, he came out there in pads to start practice, ended up taking the pads off after warm-ups, after some drills. I just saw that Matt Nagy said they're still taking it easy with him. So even though we saw Shaheen in pads, they're still taking it rather easy, not going to really overwork that back.
But, I mean, I think a lot of people, when you tweet that out, Will, you showed the picture of him in pads and then update, he's out of pads. It's kind of frustrating to see.
Kevin White.
It feels like it's just someone that's constantly injured, not getting those reps with Mitch. Then you have to go to Trey Burton, obviously being the starting tight end, but then you go down the line giving some of these younger tight ends an opportunity. But Adam Shaheen is a guy that the Bears like. They got him in the second round, and he just hasn't really been able to stay healthy. So I think it's just frustrating for fans to constantly see that with Adam Shaheen being out of practice. Moving on to tight ends that actually practiced today, I thought Ben Broniker, I think he had an up-and-down day. I know there was one where he was running with the first-team offense in the red zone, runs a nice slant, drops the ball, basically. I think it was Deion Bush or whoever was in – it was, I think, Kyle Fuller in coverage. He was beat. The ball was right where it needed to be. Drop from Ben Broniker, but then you see him making some other catches throughout practice. So a little up and down there, but that's really all I have for the tight ends here.
Ian Bunting. Don't forget Ian Bunting, another guy that I'm very high on right now at camp. He's continuing to show out. He's getting reps with the ones, primarily in there with the twos, but he's getting opportunities with Adam Shaheen on the sideline with the ones, and he's getting looks. And I said it last week how they remind me of similar players. And Bunting is obviously the more available player at this point. But when it comes to the preseason, I want to see this translate, because coming out of college, we had no idea that he had this kind of pass-catching ability. He was known for an inline blocker, and that was about it. But he's showing so much upside early on in camp as a receiver. I want to see how this translates. I mean, we are today, Nick, 1 week away from the first preseason game. I can't wait for some actual kind of real football.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there is real football today with the Hall of Fame game. But, that's going to be exciting for a lot of these guys that we've watched in camp, seeing how they go now facing a new opponent where you can actually go full speed, hit the quarterback or make that catch, try to extend your yak or whatever it may be. But, yeah, it's a great opportunity for these young guys.
All right, you want to move over to the backfield running backs?
Let's move over to the backfield running backs, yeah.
All right, over to you. Odd transition time.
Odd transition time. So a guy that I think – again, had an up-and-down day, I would say, Mike Davis. I saw him when he was running, when the Bears like run their running-style offense in the beginning. He looked like, had this actually been against another team, he would have gotten through. Mm-hmm. Just showing a very smooth path, following his blocks, getting to that second level, using his speed, using his power. That's what you want to see out of Mike Davis. But I think it was the pass to the first interception. I think it was the first interception of the day. Mitch Trubisky throws it to Mike Davis, bounces off his hands, gets intercepted by, it was on the left side, so I'm assuming that was Prince Mukamura over there. Yep. But, again, you don't want to see that from a guy that has been pretty sure-handed so far throughout camp. But, up and down.
Yeah, I believe the interception actually was Deion Bush.
Deion Bush, yep.
Yep, but Mukamura was over there in coverage as well. But maybe the ball's a little high, but hit him in the hand. So,
if it
hits you in the hands, you have to catch that ball. I think you hit it right with Mike Davis. Up and down. Of course, anytime you not just drop a ball, but you bat it up in the air where it gets intercepted, that's a big negative. Luckily, this is camp. But regardless, when he was running today, you alluded to the play, and I had a video over on Twitter about it as well. He has good vision, patience, and when he sees that hole, I mean, snap your fingers and he's through it. Like the burst is there, and he was highly productive in Seattle. I'm very encouraged by what I've seen out of him so far in camp. But another guy who I didn't see a lot of today, though, was a David Montgomery, because I thought we were going to see more of him than we did. It wasn't to say he was bad. I saw him have one drop in a flat. I was like, oh, that's not good. But again, It's practice, but anytime you have a drop in the flat, it reminds me of Jordan Howard. I'm not saying that they're even on the same level because I know what Montgomery brings to the table as a pass catcher, but what about you, Nick? Did you see anything out of 32 today?
You know, so what I did see a positive from David Montgomery was when he stretched the field vertically in the passing game. And look, the Bears love to run those wheel routes with these running backs, and for the most part, David Montgomery was open. Whether the ball got to him or not is not obviously his fault, but he is creating separation, getting behind, whether it's a linebacker, if they have the safety on him. That's where you see the we mentioned Jordan Howard. That's where the difference really is in that passing game. So that was a positive from him. I did see a play where, again, this is the second time I've mentioned him on this podcast. Clifton Duck would have lit him up. It would have been the crowd kind of oohed and aahed at that play, but Clifton Duck was in good position, backup safety on David Montgomery to just light him up. But that was the only other thing that kind of stood out today from David Montgomery.
Yeah, they weren't fully live today, which is hard for running backs. We're getting there. Tomorrow, Matt Nagy said that we are going to go live, which I'm excited we're going to be there to watch that first live practice of camp. We'll get a better look there. But, yeah, it was they gave him some runs inside, some things off of the read options as well. Things are usually blown dead within a few yards, so it's kind of hard to really gauge what exactly was happening. Things happen fast. But other than that, looking at running backs, Reed Cohen is heavily involved today as a pass catcher, getting him some room and space along the perimeter to make some plays. Other than that, do you have anything on Tariq? I mean, is everything we know and come to expect out of Cohen, nothing really flashy, no big touchdown plays or anything, but just gentle, you know, 5 to 7 yard gains off of just a quick flare, you know, to the perimeter.
Yeah, so I think that's where, now that you have David Montgomery, Mike Davis, I think we're going to just see more of Tariq Cohen as an actual receiver, whether he's split out wide in the slot or going out for a pass on any given play. I think you're just you should expect to see more of that with Tariq Cohen. And obviously, he can run the ball, is a very fast runner when he gets to the edge. Not a lot of guys can get that angle on him, but I would just expect to see more of that throughout training camp and especially during the regular season.
All right, time for the Mitch update.
Time for the Mitch update. Yeah, so I think today, from Monday's practice at least, where it was really crappy weather, where it was raining, the offense just looked abysmal all around. Today was just a better overall day from Mitch. It was a better overall day for the offense and for the backup quarterbacks as well. But still, you see Mitch Trubisky, he got intercepted a couple times today. Not all his fault. You don't know whether or not if a receiver's covered up, should he even make the throw in the first place, then it won't get batted up. But I think overall it was better from him. He looked a little bit more precise, a little bit quicker with his, you know, just timing with the receivers. I thought he was on par with Wims and Allen Robinson. But I think there are opportunities. Like I mentioned Anthony Miller earlier, there are times where he is open, so it's not really on him. It's just, I don't know if Trubisky's just not, if that's not the read or if he's just not trusting the throw there. I want to see more of that develop kind of from Mitch and Allen or Anthony Miller. But overall, a much better day from Monday. And I know that you tweeted out, Will, that he got chewed out on one of the plays. Is that correct?
He did. It was a completion. He hit his check down, which was Mike Davis over to his right. Did end up picking up a first down. I wasn't really paying attention down the field, but Coach Nagy was, and he saw something on there that must have been missed because it was a good 10 seconds. Like, he was barking at Trubisky as Trubisky was walking off the field as the second team was starting to take over the 11-on-11 drills. So, yeah, it was just, you know, something about the read you can tell Nagy was not happy with. But I love it. He doesn't play favorites. I mean, obviously he and Mitch have a special bond, but the fact that we have a semi coming in the back, so I apologize if you hear this background noise. But the fact that he can go and still be vocally disgruntled with his quarterback is accountability at its finest. It really is. But other than that, looking at Trubisky, I thought he was pretty laser sharp in the red zone, making some good decisions, a few drops in there, but no turnovers. And, you know, last year when they were doing red zone drills, there were a decent amount of interceptions. So for me, not seeing the ball get turned over in the red zone out of Trubisky was an encouraging sign, but I think you hit it right. It was an overall better day than Monday. Not the best we've seen Mitch, but definitely not the worst.
Yeah, and actually just kind of going to Mitch and like this first team offense, I will say that I was, I guess, a little disappointed in from what I saw. I know the very first touchdown that they scored in 11-on-11 in the red zone, it was a Trey Burton, but also who came off the field was Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, and Buster Skrine.
Right.
So you're starting, again, the rest of the first team defense was out there, but that's the That's the first time they scored all day, and yet you're taking out two of the better inside linebackers in the league and also your nickel corner. So I want to see them just go out there, score in the red zone against, again, that starting defensive unit. Again, it's hard in itself when you have Khalil Mack on one edge, Leonard Floyd, and all the great players that they do. But I do want to see more consistency out of that first-team unit. And for the most part, I think Mitch Trubisky, again, those checkdowns are really primarily what you kind of see from him, I would say, in this camp so far. Again, credit to the defense for being able to cover up these receivers. Yeah. But I think for the most part, you've seen Mitch Trubisky kind of take the checkdown, and maybe that's why Matt Nagy was kind of chewing him out. You have to go and take those calculated risks, as he always says.
Yep, a lot of checkdowns, a lot of coverage sacks, a lot of him trying to scramble because
There's nothing open. Yeah, the defense is good. We have to remember that every time the offense has a bad day. This defense was number one last year for a reason.
And that's why I was really encouraged by what I saw in the red zone, because the Bears were the best red zone defense NFL last year. And consistently, the first team was finding their way into the end zone. Now, was it easy? Hell no. I mean, they had to work for each yard, each opportunity, but they were able to capitalize more trips than not. They only had to settle for field goal, I think, once the first team did. So overall, that's encouraging going up against the NFL's best red zone defense. All right, well, that's going to wrap up our positional offensive preview. But before we go over to defense, Nick, I want to go to you. Tomorrow, live practice, like I mentioned. Do you have something that you're paying attention to or you want to see tomorrow out of the offense during live action?
Yeah, live action, especially that first team offense. I don't know how the drills are going to go, but if they start at the 20, like if after a kickoff, which they were repping here at the end of practice, I want to see them, if they can drive down the field on the starting defense, give them some fits, because there's a lot of great players on this offense, and I want to see if this Mitch Trubisky, Matt Nagy can move the ball against Chuck Pagano's defense. Now I'm really going to be on Anthony Miller watch. There was also another rep today. He false started. The first team offense comes off the field. Matt Nagy's not happy, and it's because, again, Anthony Miller false starts. I'm going to be paying attention to him for the rest of camp to see if he and Mitch Trubisky can get on the same page, can get open, and, you know, get that going.
All right. Well, one last hiatus before we get to the defense. We do need to call a quick timeout to tell you a little bit about our show sponsor, SeatGeek. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there is a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. So what makes SeatGeek better than the rest? Well, that's a great question. To put it as simply as possible, SeatGeek, it's a better process. They pull together millions of tickets from all over the web, rate each on a scale of 1 to 10, and finally they display them on what I love is this interactive seat map where you get to know the view of the exact seat that you're looking for. And as you know, everybody here at the Chicago Audible, Nick included, has a SeatGeek app in his phone, and it's by far the easiest way that we've been able to shop for tickets. Last week we went to a White Sox game after practice. We use SeatGeek for that. We're going to the Bears-Chiefs game, and we, of course, use SeatGeek to secure those tickets as well. We can be anywhere within a few tabs, instantly find some seats, anything that we're looking for. So definitely check out SeatGeek. If you want to go with us to the Bears-Chiefs game, December 22nd, playoff atmosphere, definitely check out SeatGeek. I checked this morning before practice opened up, and there are still a few amazing deals left, so definitely check that out. And here's the kicker. The SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first purchase as long as you use our promo code. That promo code is BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $10 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. Alrighty, you're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm yours, Will DeWitt. I'm joined by my co-host, Nicholas Moriano. It's day four of open Bears practice. We're breaking down what we saw today. Beautiful sunny day in Bourbonnais, 7 days away from the Bears' first preseason game. And with the defense, let's go ahead and just start up front. I got a little, you know, fun and creative with the offense, but that was in the spirit of Matt Nagy. Let's get back to consistency. Start up front, defensive line. Nick, what stood out to you there?
Consistency is probably the best word to use for that defensive line. Like we said earlier, we don't, with these running backs and these running plays, we don't know how far they would usually, you know, go had this been another team. But that defensive line is not giving the offense many opportunities just because as a unit, they just play so sound in their assignments. When you have Eddie Goldman plugging up the middle and Akeem Hicks on the other end, I mean, these guys are, again, had a really good camp so far and have made it, I would say, tough on this offense overall. But just watching Akeem Hicks, just kind of towards the end of practice, just working on those hand drills, he really gets into it with Jeff Rogers, defensive line coach, just so sound and where he's placing his hands and how he should be placing them. But that's what you want to see, and that's why Akiem Hicks is the player that he is, and the defensive linemen behind him also are having, you know, great seasons and doing great things because of guys like him just consistently bringing it to practice each and every day.
What I saw was Nick Williams playing with the first-string defense.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's someone that, you know, last year was the backup nose tackle. But don't forget, Nick, coming into camp last year, we knew he had the ability to play nose tackle and defensive end. He was playing with the ones at defensive end a little bit. Again, they like to just give people some different looks. But he didn't look bad out there. So seeing Nick Williams out there with the ones, I saw John Bullard out there with the ones. Did not see Roy Robertson-Harris out there with the ones today. Again, I don't think that really means anything, but just sharing what I saw out there at practice. And the only other thing I want to add about the defensive line was Chuck Pagano getting a little creative. I posted a video of a nice catch from Allen Robinson in some traffic. And after rewatching that video a couple of times, I saw Bilal Nichols lining up at the three tech, dropping straight back into coverage to take like the middle of the field away from Trubisky. So having your defensive lineman drop back in coverage is something that we didn't see a lot of out of Fangio, maybe once in a while, but seeing that out of Pagano was interesting today. I think it would have gone unnoticed if I had not made that video.
Yeah.
But Bilal Nichols dropping back in coverage, just kind of like, you know, taking the middle of the field, just a little shell area. Very interesting, to say the least. But other than that, the defensive line did a really good job of, whenever the Bears did want to run the ball today, of giving them little to no room to work with. But that's what I'm expecting out of that defense. If it was the other way around all practice, would I be encouraged about the offense? Sure, but I'd probably be a little bit more worried about the state of the defense. But to our benefit, they're looking exactly like they did last year in terms of their run defense. Best run defense in the NFL last year. Don't forget that either. But let's go over to outside linebackers. We saw a nice play, a few nice plays from Khalil Mack. It's Khalil Mack. We're going to say that every podcast. But he had one where Trubisky threw to his left. Mack batted it up, caught it himself. Was able to corral his own interception off his own pass batted. That's Khalil Mack, though. What about you? Anything else from the outside guys?
Yeah, just to kind of talk more about Khalil Mack, sure, who was ranked number 3 in the top 100 mm-hmm. last night. I mean, these are not plays that you're supposed to even really see. Even in practice, these are not routine plays that Khalil Mack makes, but batting up your own deflection, then intercepting it. He almost had another one on the other side, and it's just you're used to seeing this from Khalil Mack. That's why he is the number 3 best player in the NFL, and that's why he's so accustomed to making these awe plays, but they're really just normal routine plays for him. And I mentioned that Leonard Floyd was able to get back at the quarterback a couple times, encouraging to see as well. You know what? Other than that, from the starting guys, I wasn't really paying attention too much to the outside linebackers as a whole, not even the backups really as well. I know Aaron Lynch had one good run-stuffing play, but other than that, that's kind of what I took away from the outside linebackers. Still just in awe of just the plays that Khalil Mack can make on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy, right? I mean, we haven't been able to see him in person to like this level yet.
Yeah.
And now day 4 in, I think we're still amazed every time he takes the field. He always does one play, at least one play in practice that is pretty damn special. With the other outside linebackers, I don't have much to add. I have where people were primarily being subbed in. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of Isaiah Irving with the twos alongside Aaron Lynch. Not a lot of Isaiah Fitz with the twos. He was more with the threes. And then Matt Betts, the undrafted free agent out of Canada. Even though when we're watching him in one-on-one drills, he's not the most impressive. I did see him today. He didn't get in there a ton with the threes, but he did draw a lot of holding calls or no calls, but a lot of times where I'm like, oh, that's an obvious hold being grabbed. So maybe some slight progress over in his development. We'll see what he can do once we get to a game here in a week. But let's jump into do you have anything from the inside backers?
Inside backers, you know what? Not really, and I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily. Not even from, you know, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, really. When you're just watching this defense as a whole, there's a reason why this first-team offense is struggling at times, and you got to give credit to how the inside linebackers are able to cover and also be able to run stuff at the same time. But other than that, I think Joel Ea Buniwe, so he was beat. The Bears have been doing this consistently throughout the open practices and probably the other ones as well, where they have one-on-one matchups and mm-hmm. everybody's kind of watching. The loser has to do up-downs. Joel Ea Buniwe was in perfect coverage. Was it on David Montgomery?
Yes.
It wasn't. He was in perfect coverage. He ends up getting getting beat. Again, it's a tough matchup there because David Montgomery is a really good route runner. But other than that, like, play, there are other times where he's in coverage. He's just looking better there. And I know he had a first rough day in pads where he's getting stuffed on when he's trying to do the rushing drill against the running backs. But since that day, I think he has gotten better just consistently overall, one, stuffing the run, and just in pass coverage. And that's what you want to see out of Joel Ebuniwe.
I've noticed that when they do you know, their nickel or their sub packages, he is the, not, you know, it's Roquan, he's in there at the one, then they go straight to Iggy. They're not, I mean, which makes sense because a Nikolkowski, that's not a strong suit being a nickel backer. So just wanted to mention that he's also out there at the twos in the nickel formation. So when there's only one linebacker out there, it is Iggy. It's not a Nikolkowski. So that's something we should mention. But yeah, it was a really quiet day. I think Roquan had a couple nice plays, you know, busting up some runs. But other than that, it was pretty quiet overall. Yeah. All right, going to the secondary, let's go to cornerbacks. Nick, what did you see?
From cornerbacks, I think Kyle Fuller and Prince, again, just consistent. There were a couple times where just in the one-on-ones, we have a fan waving there.
Yeah.
Nice, love live podcast. But yeah, Kyle Fuller one-on-one with, man, I want to say it was Allen Robinson. Just a, it's a fun matchup to watch every single time. But I did see Kyle Fuller versus Anthony Miller. They repped three times in the one-on-ones to the right side of the field. Kyle Fuller won two out of those three. The last one, he got a little handsy, he got a PI, and Anthony Miller and Kyle Fuller kind of jawing at each other. That's not a pass interference call, that is. But Kyle Fuller, it's not easy to, one, be able to cover when you're just a one, and one-on-one drills, I think it always favors the offense. It should, but he was able to lock down Anthony Miller, and I know I was talking about Miller earlier, but that was great to see from Kyle Fuller.
Right. On the other side, Prince Mukamara, because he was lining up primarily on my end of the field, I mean, he was lights out in coverage all day, and whenever there was a, you know, a quick dump off, I mean, he's closing in a hurry, and he's hooping and hollering because he knows, like, if that was a live action, he'd be going in for the kill there, but he can't right now. But he knows, like, he's right there. He's making the right read. He's able to make the break at the correct time to either make a strong play in that ball or just tackle the receiver for a minimal gain. Looking at the backups, John Franklin had some times with the ones.
Yep.
He's actually looking pretty good. A few times I jotted down in my mental notes because I thought I forgot a pen, but I found it in my pocket after practice that he had some nice coverage in the right area. It seems like the game is actually kind of coming to him, which is very encouraging. What about you? Anything from the backups that you saw?
Yeah, Kevin Tolliver's a guy that I like to keep a, you know, close eye on. Again, I think for him, he was primarily in really good coverage throughout the, you know, the entire practice, but Tyler Bray made a heck of a throw towards the right sideline. I think it was to Thomas Ives. It was a back shoulder. Kevin Tolliver is in perfect position, but yet they were still able to get the completion. There was another play. Tolliver is right there and is just not able to stay with, I forget which, it was Javon Wims in the right corner of the end zone. He's in good coverage, and that's what we want to see from Tolliver. He looked, like I said, last year maybe a little stiff, but he is right there in coverage. He's not making these plays yet, and he's made some in this practice and throughout training camp, but he didn't make them today. But I think it's just encouraging to see that, one, that there's little separation between him and the wide receiver, which, or whatever wide receiver it is, and that's what you kind of want to see from Tolliver. Now maybe the next step is to kind of turn your head around in time, batting the ball away, maybe getting an interception. But overall, I've liked what I've seen from Kevin Tolliver so far in training camp.
All right, before we move over to the safeties, we have to check in here. The nickel cornerback position, Buster Screen, Duke Shelley. I didn't see a lot out of Duke today. Did you?
You know what? The only play that I really saw from Duke was when he got burned by Ryan Nall towards the right sideline on, I think it was a wheel route again. They sent a lot of these running backs deep today, but Duke Shelley wasn't even close. Mm-mm. I don't know if he was looking just in the backfield, maybe on the initial route from the wheel, but there was a huge gap between Ryan Nall and Duke Shelley, and Duke Shelley's a lot faster than Ryan Nall. It shouldn't be like that. But that's the only play that I caught from him. There was a pass breakup towards the middle of the field on one of the tight ends, but not much from Duke Shelley, and then Buster Screen as well. I don't know. I didn't
really, so-so, right?
Yeah, so-so today. So it wasn't the best day, I would say, from the nickel corners in general.
No, it really wasn't. Hopefully tomorrow when we go live, someone just stand out. It's the last day I'll be able to make a practice. So I really want to see someone just kind of make a stand at that position again. That's what preseason's for as well. But no, Buster Skrine, there are a few plays I was like, all right, I can get behind that. He was, you know, right there in coverage, being able to get his hands over the receiver but not being PI and knocking the ball down. And then other times he's keeping a guy or missing a guy and he's like 4 yards of separation. You can't have that. So definitely inconsistent would be the word there for Skrine and really the nickel corners in general today. So moving over to the safety position, I think the big one is HaHa Clinton Dix. First time they got to see him practice today. Wasn't a full bore practice, but he was out there, I would say a decent amount for the first time that for him to be back in practice. I know he did a little bit over the closed days, but for at least our perspective from the open practice, what did you see out of HaHa today? Anything?
Yeah, so just kind of keep an eye on HaHa Clinton Dix. A lot of people are wondering, where is he actually going to line up in this defense? Obviously, him and A.J. Jackson are essentially both free safeties playing the same position. Now they have to accommodate to one another in Chuck Pagano's defense. And what I have jotted down in my notes early on is that usually Eddie Jackson was the safety that was maybe deep middle or further back, and HaHa was playing a little closer to the line of scrimmage. Not that he was in the box or anything, but he was just playing a little closer up, and if there was a running back that split out wide, HaHa would go over there. If it was a tight end, that's where HaHa Clinton Dix, he was playing a little closer. When it was an even look from the offense, you'd see Eddie Jackson and HaHa Clinton Dix about matched up at the same depth. That's what I was seeing, and then I noticed in the one-on-one drills, he didn't really participate when it was just wide receivers and tight ends against the DBs. He didn't participate there. He did have his practice cut short. They took someone took away his helmet. Couldn't find it anywhere, but he did practice for, you know, the beginning. And I guess there wasn't really anything that kind of stood out from him. He's still obviously learning, getting adjusted to the rest of the guys there. But nothing really stood out from HaHa Clinton Dix, and that's not the worst thing.
Did you get the same kind of gut feeling that it wasn't the best days for, like, the backup safeties, Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, Sherrick McManus? It seemed like they were the entire defense today and all the different, you know, one, twos, and threes. The safeties seemed to be probably the biggest issue.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, Deion Bush had a good start to his practice. He had an interception. He had a pass breakup on Allen Robinson, and then it kind of just went downhill from him. You mentioned the Allen Robinson just beating him in the red zone. Then there was another one, the Trey Burton touchdown. That was also on Bush. So it was back-to-back touchdowns given up by Bush to the first-team offense. So that's where you want to see, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix when healthy. What would he have done maybe in that situation had it been, you know, him instead of Deion Bush? But, yeah, like you mentioned, even a DeAndre Houston Carson or a Sherrick McManus weren't the best in coverage today. So, again, that's another – so nickel corners and the safeties. Want to see them definitely rebound in tomorrow's practice.
All right, to wrap things up, I asked you what you would like to see out of the offense when we go live. I don't know about you, but I'm a little scared about what we may be able to see out of this Bears defense when they're actually able to hit people. What about you?
You know what? We mentioned him earlier, but now that Khalil Mack is going to have an opportunity to hit people, I don't even know if I want him to, because there are plays where he is just – if this is another quarterback, he's done for. Obviously, there's not going to be no hitting of the quarterbacks, but it's going to be interesting to see how they, I guess, restrict Khalil Mack, because I think everyone else is a go. But him, it's like he gets back there so quick, he can easily, you know, hurt one of these guys or be in a great position to make a great tackle. But that'll be interesting to watch. And I want to see, again, some of these secondary guys coming down to make tackles. HaHa Clinton Dix, for his entire career, I would say, has been maybe an inconsistent tackler. So if he's good to go tomorrow, is he taking the proper angles? That's something that I'll be watching for. And also the nickel corner spot. You have to be able to tackle that position. Bryce Callahan was a pretty good tackler when he had the opportunity. So Buster Skrine, Duke Shelley, I want to see what they can do.
Yeah, I don't have – my gut says that HaHa won't go live very first day of live just due to the nature of the injury, bringing him back slowly. And, of course, I don't know. I don't think he would overdo it right now at this point.
True.
But if he is, I mean, that's definitely something to watch out for. The nickel, you hit on it. I don't know. I want to see Roquan. I really do. I want to see what – like, if he's out there full go, full speed – I want to see it in person. I mean, we saw it a little bit in Miami, but we're in the 300s. We're going to be in the bleachers right here at practice. I want to watch Roquan's speed on full display and how it matches up against some of this offense.
Absolutely.
All right, Nick, any final thoughts that you have? I think that may just been it, but as we kind of wrap up day four here, anything you want to like end on?
You know what? For this day, I know like we've been talking about who won the day, offense, defense. I would definitely say this was more –
It was a teeter totter almost.
Yeah, it was a teeter. There were times where the defense was looking dominant, times where the offense was getting into the end zone. I think when it goes to the backups, I give it to the offensive side for sure. Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray were doing some good things with their offensive units. That first team offense against that first team defense, there's still work to be done for sure. Again, this is the Bears defense though, so it's going to be tough to score. But they did, you know, capitalize on some opportunities. But again, I don't even know where I would peg this one, offense or defense winning the entire day.
Which I think that's what we want out of a practice. Yeah. You know, things that don't always just lean one way. Sometimes one side of the ball wins, whereas other times it goes the opposite direction. Now, before we wrap up, Nick, we should talk about kicker.
Oh, absolutely. We have to. It's always a conversation here. The kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, what was he, 7 of 8, and then hitting a 60-yard field goal? What's up with these Bears kickers kicking the 60-yard field goal consistently?
Weird flex, but okay.
What?
I said weird flex, but okay. Is that not a thing anymore? I'm out of the loop, huh?
Maybe. I work in the high school. I don't know if I've heard that in a while.
Well, see, that's what happens when you turn 27. You're like 3 years behind.
Did you want to check my watch? Did you do
nah,
that?
I'm good. But no, Eddie Pinheiro, 7 of 8, like you said. He had a 60. Bears kicker loves hitting these 60 yards. I love it. I mean, honestly, it's one of those things like, you know, they can hit him in a game. They can keep hitting him here. And there wasn't even a lot of wind at that time. So he had the leg to do it, and his only miss, because people were wondering, well, what did he miss from? 7 of 8. Came from 55, and after he missed that 55 is when he answered with that 60-yarder. So it was a good comeback kick there. But overall, I mean, I think we've been here, this is 4 days. I think I've seen 4 misses on field goals, which overall isn't too bad.
He'll take that, especially with all the questions that are coming into camp with the two kickers. They're putting a strong camp together, both these guys, Elliott Fry, Eddie Pinheiro, as to who should win the single starting spot on this team. But other than kickers, I think we also got to mention, you know, kind of what we saw at the, like, the kick return spot. There was a couple guys that were repping there, and I have them written down. I have to actually look at the notes for this just to make sure I got everybody. But in this order, we had Cordell Patterson getting the first reps at kick returner. Then you had Marvin Hall after that. Anthony Miller was third. John Franklin III was fourth. And Duke Shelley was the fifth returner. Cohen was also in the end zone at that time. He didn't take any reps there at kick returner, but I would assume that he's also probably an option if they need him there.
Did you want to talk about the two person?
Yeah. So we talked about in the special teams training camp podcast, countdown to camp. Well, are we going to see maybe two kick returners at the same time? One of the last reps of special teams in overall practice, you had Cordell Patterson, who initially got the kickoff, and then you have Tariq Cohen, who's off to the right, just kind of waiting there for the pitch. And then Patterson pitches it to Cohen, and you never know how a special teams unit is going to react to that. But that's something that I think special teams-wise you should look out for with the Bears. There could be two kick returners on the field at the same time, two dynamic guys in Cordell Patterson, Marvin Hall, Tariq Cohen, whoever the combination is. It just creates more opportunities to possibly get, you know, some good field or some good yardage from that special teams unit.
Yeah, all right. I think it's going to wrap it up for this episode and special teams. Good stuff there, Nick, in terms of the kick return coverage. One last thing, just want to make sure, just in case you forgot, we are hoping to give away a free Bears jersey here soon. Last I saw, we're about 23 reviews away from giving away a free jersey. Remember, to enter this contest, all you have to do is review our show on Apple Podcasts. Show your appreciation from us, you know, driving here every morning to give you these Bears camp updates, and of course, everything that we do all in season and throughout the entire year. But for my co-host, Nicholas Moriano, this is Will DeWitt. We'll talk to you tomorrow from day 5 of Bears camp, first live practice of the season. But until then, bear down, Chicago. Bear down.